All right, so Tyler Bryden here. I'm going down to the Collision Conference down here in Toronto, so I'm in the truck on the way down. I'm trying to beat some traffic here. The event actually starts at 9 a.m., and I'm hoping by leaving left at 5:45 today that I'm going to be able to beat a little bit of a rush there and try to get into this conference pretty early. Not feeling too optimistic about that, and one thing I've noticed, I'm not sure what's going on here. I drive a lot slower on the 401 than a lot of other people right now, and as again, we're in the truck here, so you're right along with me with the journey. A lot of cars flying by me. Another period of my life where I think I was the fast driver and I was the person flying by, but a little slower these days. And part of the slowness is coming back from the long weekend here. So Victoria Day weekend in Canada, which is always really a beautiful weekend, and sort of marks the start of summer for a lot of Canadians. And I would say just like a shift in mood. Like it's weird that there's this biological clock in humans, and for some, like I always was so skeptical of like 9 to 5 and then like vacations. Oh, you get like vacations in certain times. But in terms of that, we've picked really good vacation times. Like, I feel like our vacations and our holidays really align with the shifting seasons, how we feel as people, and seem to be a lot of times placed right at the exact time when a lot of people are starting to get stressed or, just when it's sort of time for a break. So, long weekend is over, and I'm back cruising at 110 on the 401 while people are zipping by me at 140. And on the way to this Discovery Conference, this Collision Conference. And the reason why I say Discovery Conference is I'm actually at Discovery Conference last week exhibiting. And so it's been a stacked up couple of weeks here in terms of conferences. The first one was this Discovery Conference down in Toronto, which was last week. And at this one, we actually got the chance to exhibit, which was really cool. So I've been working on this project, obviously, Speak. Speak AI Inc. is the actual company. And we made quite a bit of progress on our application. And because of our Smart Start recipient status, I guess our award, $30,000 in terms of grants and some support. I guess the privilege to actually exhibit down at this conference. And so at this Discovery Conference, about 4,000 people they were thinking were there. Over 2 days, we sort of exhibited. There were a lot of great keynotes and just a lot of events and things going on at once. And so that was really cool because we had, we worked pretty hard and in some ways pretty silently on Speak here in London, Ontario. And one of the things I always get a little bit worried about is, if we're working on all this stuff here in London and we think it's pretty cool, how does it stack up when we actually go down to Toronto and see some companies who are really on the cutting edge, some of them who have, raised quite a bit of money, and, you want to have that comparison to see sort of where you're at. And it was really nice. I think there, Vatsol, who's been the developer on this project, both of us saw, I think that we're at a pretty exciting level of what we're doing and how we're taking machine learning and AI and applying it in a pretty practical sense. Whereas even, in the keynotes, a lot of the talks about AI and artificial intelligence in general seem to be still pretty high level theoretical and people questioning how they can actually use it in their business. And so it has been really exciting for us to see, wow, we are possibly onto something here. And the way that we're using, new sort of paradigm shifting technologies, we're actually using them in a pretty practical sense, which is really exciting. So it was a great opportunity to actually exhibit down there, sort of network for 2 days and met a lot of great people, and just really cool to get some feedback on what you've been working on. So, I would say overall, pretty widely positive. A couple hilarious moments where, someone would be pretty mind blown at what we were doing. And we did sort of have the demo up on the screen. We had a video playing. And in that video, we would show people basically here's everything that we're extracting out of these conversations or presentations or whatever that video was, and of course with Speak we run it through our system, which applies a lot of machine learning models to the actual either the audio, the video, or of course we're working on text as well too. And it extracts, you know, for the audio and video, it extracts the keywords, the brands, the topics, everything that's transcribed. It even does a little bit of emotional analysis as well too, so that you can identify like some of the positive and negative parts in that actual file as well too. And so, you know, in the past, it has been a pretty paradigm shifting thing because people have done a lot of this manually. And as we continue to talk and investigate, you know, who wants to use this technology, who's this best positioned for, we've realized a lot of the, you know, the pains that these companies or these researchers or these institutions or organizations have felt having to do this manually. And I tell you, we've done a couple manual transcriptions now just to clean up sort of the transcription that our technology gives us, and it is not as easy as you think. It's a lot of work to actually do it, and it's tedious work, and you know, you have to be pretty, while you think that you have to be, you know, sort of not, you know, relaxed, you're sort of just listening, you actually have to be pretty on it, because of course you're monitoring what's going on in the audio and video, you're transcribing, you have to write everything down, you have to make sure the punctuation and everything is good. A big realization that we've had with this is just how many decisions actually go into even creating a transcript, because you know, people like myself talking right now are obviously, a lot of times we're sort of jumbling words, we are like starting half sentences or trying to figure out how to finish them, and sorry for the sound here guys, I'm just pulling up making sure everything's still recording, and we're good to go. You have to make all these decisions when you're sort of doing that actual transcript. And so we would see someone start a sentence, they'd be like that, and then they would finally get to the actual point they're trying to make. And it's like, do you keep that, I guess, blah, blah, in the transcript? How do you indicate that that was there? Because that makes a difference on the readability, and that makes a difference to understand the conversation. And on the other side, you also want to make sure that the transcript is professional and presentable for the people that you're sharing it with. And so there's these decisions. Do you want the verbatim? Do you want the ums and ahs? Do you want the pauses? Do you want all that? Or are you just trying to create almost, you know, a polished piece of content that's a little bit more, in, I would say, like a novel book sense? So it has been really interesting to actually go ahead and not face those challenges, but get a couple early orders of sort of what we're working on and actually go through that process. So what is that process right now? It's really interesting because we're in a place where we're trying to basically pull our whole application together for all the technology. It's been a lot of work building it, and you know, we're actually built out, I would say, a pretty fleshed out application, especially for you know, I guess a company that hasn't raised that much money, that a lot of people would be sort of saying get the MVP out. And I think we are getting that MVP out. The MVP just happens to be pretty intricate and complex platform alone, and so I think there was and is a simpler way that I could have done this, but that's not really how, I guess, that's not how we, you know, try to change things, and, you know, it took a pretty big jump to actually do this. And so, right now, what we've realized is, although some of, you know, I guess we're all speech-to-text technologies have come so far, there's still a long way until we get, I would say, 100% accuracy, not just in the words themselves, but in the punctuation and the formatting and how everything actually comes out. So there seems to be this little gap here where automated transcription doesn't quite fulfill the whole task. And then there's a human transcription element that needs to be worked in to actually clean it up. And what I even hear oftentimes is people using the automated transcription actually have to go and get a real transcriber to clean it up. And that's what we would believe we would see with one of our transcriptions. If you talk, you know, articulately, I guess I shouldn't say that word right if I am saying it. You take the proper pauses, you have good audio quality, all these things. It is really easy for you to get a high quality transcription, and I would say even the formatting done correctly and professionally, often see around 85 to 95% accuracy. And I would say at the highest level, recorded nicely, I've seen almost 100% accuracy, where I said, wow, I don't even need to change one thing in this transcript to actually turn it into something I would be comfortable, and I think most people would be comfortable sharing online, or, I mean, mostly it's going to be online, printed off, whatever you want to do it in. And that's a really exciting thing, but especially for, you know, industry-specific terms, you know, jargon, low-quality audio, and then there is a layer around accents, and I would just say pronunciation in general. The technology, this is where we talk a lot about, you know, this is the bias in technology, and especially in artificial intelligence and machine learning, definitely seems to be tailored towards a North American crowd, and English speaking, specifically, and those languages. And this is, a limitation to the experiments that we've done, because, mostly working with English speakers, it seems to be really accurate with English speakers, and struggle with maybe some of the other languages or the pronunciation that comes with those languages. Let's hope hopefully something that can be resolved. I think it's really important to have diversity in tech and be able to make this technology inclusive. I think that is a big push that I'm trying to make, and that I think anyone who is in speech to text or voice technology is trying to make as well too. We recognize the challenges that come with language, the challenges making up in this technology inclusive, and the importance of actually making it inclusive as well too. And so for now, we're not quite there with the full application. We're working hard, and that's all. Richard, who's also on the team, we've been making some pretty good progress lately. Switch from, I guess, our initial prototype to now building out the fleshed out actual application that will be released that people will be able to use. For a while we've been calling that the skeleton, but it's actually it is molding into this final version of Speak 1.0. And for now, what we've realized is we're trying to just start to build up the relationships and make something start to move towards how we want to run Speak and start to gain that business. So when we actually do launch the actual technical application as a whole, that we've already got some traction and people interested in what we're doing. And so right now with the process, if we had to do the process today and you wanted to work with us, you'd actually send an audio file our way, and it's not too streamlined of a system, audio or video file. Right now we're sending it, people are sending it across in mail. Working on just a little upload function on the front end of our WordPress site, but it also almost feels sort of tedious because we do have it all working in our app, and we're just sort of waiting until we actually get there. You would send us that file, we would run it through our system, the combination of really a lot of different technologies at once, speech to text, natural language processing, sentiment analysis, where we've captured that all in our application, we're running it through, and generally, so say you have a 60-minute video, 60-minute audio, it's going to take a couple minutes to upload, and then about a 1-to-1 ratio to actually analyze and get everything back. With that analysis actually comes the transcription itself. And so we actually basically have a couple ways that we can set this up. Someone can get the automated transcription, and for a relatively low price, and we're still fleshing out all that pricing too, working with some accounting people and just some advisors in general to figure out what does this look like, what is the right pricing for this, and where do we want to sit, because we see two things here. We see that we've created a really, really valuable application that, compared to what I would say are some of our competitors out there, if we consider competitors even on that transcription space, we've got some pretty valuable technology and a lot of things in there that most of the companies aren't actually including. And I think we've got some pretty good vision of how we can continue to differentiate ourselves and add more value for the users that other applications and other competitors don't really seem interested in actually doing. And there is a couple, competitors who are very inexpensive and compared to some that are actually quite expensive. And the question is, where do we actually want to sit in this divide? And part of that comes to, are you using the automated transcription where we don't, where we've built a system and there's no real more tax on us to actually give you the service or the output that you're looking for? Or are you looking for the human transcription side where we need to take a real person, plop them from the work that they could be doing, and actually go and clean that transcription up until it gets to, what we would say now, I guess, 99% accuracy, so that you guys, the users can be confident to actually post that online. And we're trying to flesh out what that process looks like and also the pricing that goes along with that. And we hope with, between a streamlined human process and a pretty powerful technology stack, that we've actually are able to offer a really competitive rate while delivering more value than our competitors. And there's a really interesting sort of piece of, I'm trying to think of this off the top, like the triangle of business where it's like quality, speed, and price. If you can only have two of those things, kind of thing. I guess quality, price, are those the three? We're trying to hit on all of those anyways. I guess that's what I'm trying to say, and maybe that's something that will lead to our demise by trying to do all of that. And maybe it is something we need to look at, actually increasing the pricing. And I know there's a tendency in myself to always want to decrease pricing so that it can be more democratized and more people can use it. But that's something to consider. And what it also comes down to, what kind of business, what kind of life do you want to live? Do I want to have, if I reduce that pricing, it takes a lot more bulk. And how does that bulk affect our business model? And how do we acquire the clients who give us the bulk to make up if we charged at a higher rate, got less clients or less customers? These are really interesting questions to actually sort of explore and navigate through. And ones that I don't think even myself am uncomfortable to answer on my own. I can see the vision side. I can see where I want to go, and I can see where I want to take this. And I know that if I get that opportunity, there's going to continue to be value built into the platform. But this is just something a little bit out of my depth, I guess, and something that I need to continue to sort of invest and work on. And I'm hoping, again, I can get to a point that is really a great price. People feel like they feel great about the value that they're getting for that price. And it's also, the ease of use, the ability to have, once we get there, the full platform and everything. So that's where we're getting. We're working down on that pricing and building up those pieces there, and continue to try to get smarter, better in how we're building this whole thing so that we can actually figure out both these processes, both the human side where we're bringing in a human transcriber, but also the automated side where we've figured out how to make automated speech to text and everything we're doing as accurate and effective as possible. So right now for that process, if you were working with us today, send us that audio video file, choose the option. Do you want automated transcription, human transcription, or do you want like a rushed human transcription, saying like one, you wanted 24 hours to 3 days kind of thing, and you actually want to get it back pretty quickly. We have options for that and sort of different price points around in each version of those that sort of reflect the amount of effort into it and the amount of value that we believe we're outputting with that technology or with that human transcription. You send us that file, we run it through our system. If we get to human transcription, we would actually run it through the system and then bring a real person to actually clean it up and basically bring that transcription to that 99% accuracy. Once that's done, we actually run it back through our system, so everything that is then timestamped. And this allows us to do some pretty cool stuff. So it allows us to actually export SRT files and then VTT files, which if anyone's worked with some of this stuff before, is actually basically the captioning technology that people use in videos, some, you know, in YouTube videos when you're looking for the captions there and want to read as you're going along. But really gives you the ability to do this with other players and to make sure, ensure that you actually have accurate captions that go along with the video that you're creating, and or the video or audio, sorry. And I guess, yeah, you'd want it for audio as well too. I should think that through a little bit. You could use for both depending on the situation there. And as we look at, you know, why does this matter? So we send over the SRT, the VTT file, all with timestamps, which just allows you to, you know, basically create these captions. And then we also send over a branded PDF. This branded PDF, which what I'm really excited about is we include that transcription, which of course has its inherent value. You can use this as a piece of content online. You can share this with people so they can understand what happened in conversations. However you're using this, I believe that there's some inherent value in that. But where even more value comes into place is when you export to that PDF, we actually export it with insights as well too. So instead of just getting the transcription back, you do get the transcription with timestamps and speaker. But you also get back the main topics that you guys were talking about in the conversation. You also get the keywords that you were talking about, and then also the brands that we recognized in the audio or video as well too. And by providing that information, we really do think that we're giving another sort of contextual layer of what happened in the conversation. We'd like to even figure out better ways to indicate emotion throughout transcription, because the point that I keep getting back to in my own way is that, you know, conversations are more than words. So when we look at the transcription itself, you can gather a ton of great information from that transcript and seeing it distilled into what was that, you know, the words that people actually said. But inherently, there are so many more parts and nuances of our conversations that aren't actually captured in the transcription. And that's been something that increasingly has become apparent to myself and the team as we started to work on this technology and started to do a little bit of transcription ourselves. And so our export actually tries to show a little bit more context of getting those keywords, but the topics have been inferred about all the keywords and conversation points that we have. So, you know, if you're talking about a bunch of, you know, talking about Bonnaroo or Coachella or something, most likely our application is going to say, oh, wow, you guys were talking about festivals, and it's going to infer that using contextual analysis and then understanding to actually make those topic inferences. And that's even really exciting, because something that we've seen specifically on a research basis is that a lot of times researchers will record audio or video, then they will try to find like thematic elements throughout that to basically generate those keywords but also generate those topics. And inherently we're, and I've got to stop saying that, we're inherently, we've already have that technology right within our system, and so we really do see some value there, and we've seen some other people recognize that value quite quickly as well too. And so that's sort of where, you know, we're going to send that across in the email, we're going to send a PDF, we're going to send the SRT and the VTT file, and you know, that can be an automated transcription where we're going to be, well, low quality audio, I would say 60% up accuracy compared to high quality audio where we're looking more like 85 to 95%. You get that back with the PDF, SRT, and VTT through email. And if you were doing a human transcription, we would do the same thing, but you would know that basically you don't have to edit anything. You don't have to make sure that there are any errors sort of in that transcription, that you can be confident to actually post it. And I guess just to elaborate on that, why people are questioning, why aren't the transcriptions, you know, why aren't they 100% accurate? Why aren't we in an area where we don't need humans to actually clean up a transcription? And I'll use one example that we saw in a recent order that we actually did. And what it was a Richard Ivey Business School professor in London, Ontario. And that's a really high esteemed school here. And they were doing a lecture or a podcast. It's a podcast, I should know this, Tyler, was an order that you got. And they mentioned in the podcast, they mentioned Ivy. Now, our machine hears Ivy and it thinks of the branch or the vegetation or whatever the Ivy is, and spells it I-V-Y. Now, this is just one, I think, a simple example of what we see, because the machine doesn't know that the podcast is being done by a Richard Ivey professor in London, Ontario. So when it mentions Ivey, it doesn't have the contextual understanding. It's just looking at the word itself. Even by trying to understand context, that'd be a really difficult thing for our technology to put together, because again, it doesn't know that we're based in London, Ontario. It doesn't know that, you know, for granted we're talking about Ivey, and that there's a bar, you know, basically in London or in the area, if you say Ivey, you know what we're talking about, or you know what school we're referring to. Our technology doesn't know that. So there's a gap in understanding between the technology and humans. And humans have so much ability to understand context, to understand information in a different light. And it's actually, in some ways, really made me admire how just intelligent our brains are to be able to pull together different associations and find solutions to things that are relatively abstract. And I've done that because I've actually gone through and looked at some of these transcriptions myself and cleaned them up, but also I've watched the team who is working on this with me, find really interesting moments in doing these transcriptions, but also finding challenging moments, and really actually having to use some of their brain power to get to that 99% accuracy that we're trying to get to with the human transcription. So we're continually trying to improve that process. And what is nice is we are learning using machine learning, and so we are getting more intelligent. And when we, for example, edit Ivy and turn it into Ivey, that's a little note that technology didn't quite do the job right. Here's a change that we've had to make, and we want you to make a note of this. So if you see a situation like this in the future, you know what Ivy to use, or you know that it's actually spelled this way. These things continue to get better, continue to get smarter. We're working hard on that. And really, I guess I can say that our technology is the absolute worst it can be right now. And we'll continue to use it to make it better, and we hope that we can actually get some customers, some users, some early adopters to actually help us make it even better as well too. That was a lot. I really went on here. I'm still driving on my way to Toronto. I'm sure you probably continue to hear the truck in the background. It's a beautiful drive though, and that's nice. It's a nice day out, and we had a little bit colder rain a couple days during the weekend, but we also had a beautiful day on Friday, and a beautiful day on Sunday as well too. That always makes a difference. If I was driving down here in the rain, I probably wouldn't be very happy. Probably wouldn't be talking right now, because driving in the rain is scary, especially on the 401. I'm on the 403 now, and it's interesting, because even now, it's now 6:30 in the morning, so I've been driving for a bit, still have a ways to go. Luckily, I haven't hit too much traffic yet, but I'm fearing that that's not going to be true for forever here, especially as I'm pulling into Toronto. Again, the end of the long week, and everyone is back to work. And on top of that, this collision conference is in Toronto, so there's another 25,000 people, maybe more, in the city itself. And so we'll walk into a pretty rambunctious place. I really can say I have no idea what I'm walking into, which is both kind of scary and also obviously very exciting for an adventurer like myself. That weird when I start talking like that. What is that? I'm not really sure. I'm still working, figuring that out. I feel like I'm sort of like mansplaining to the podcast. That's how it feels. Tyler-splaining. Like, why do I need to talk in that? I don't know even what it is. Is it a tone? Is it sort of a delivery pattern? I don't know when it comes out and slips out. And I don't know when to put it back either. So we are, it is sort of an exciting time. We're really exploring a lot of different things right now, and this conference is one of them. Apparently, like Coachella or Bonnaroo for tech people, and it is the first year it's actually been in Toronto, and so it's going to be a pretty exciting time, I think, actually for Toronto to have this. We're going to see some pretty cool companies and technologies that are really at the front and center of today, but also, I think that in some ways I'm going to be getting a peek into the future. Today and what everything where is this industry headed? Where is tech headed in general? There are so many different places and focuses, whether it's clean tech or artificial intelligence or manufacturing. Like the options to explore at this conference are endless. And I'm hoping I can go and see as much as I possibly can. They actually make you download an application and you can sort of put your schedule together, and they've got in-app notifications. And so I would even say on that level, the technology infrastructure they have and the organization of the event is pretty astounding already. And I don't even know how many events or things were in that schedule, but it took me like an hour and a half to read through it all and try to identify, where did I actually want to dedicate my time, what parts of this event are actually going to be the most compelling, that give you the most valuable. Maybe, of course, obviously introduce you to some people that you want to be connected with. And that's a really difficult choice. I think you've got a lot of contacts online. I've only down there for today and tomorrow, so I'm driving in today. I'm staying on friends tonight, Sean, who actually used to work with 6ix5ive and do a lot of the Google advertising. He actually ended up down in Toronto and has continued to learn and adopt and really power through some Google advertising from some pretty small Google Grants projects and small clients that we were working on, now to working with some massive clients. Like, I don't even know if I should be saying that, but like Deloitte and Hulu and even not Hulu, oh, Bravo, it's Bravo. All these different like massive accounts that he's actually been managing as well too. So it's been cool. It's been really cool to catch up with him and see him. He's letting me stay at his place. And luckily enough, his place was just about a 10-minute walk away from this actual conference. And so I'm excited. It sounds like I got some guest parking. Might not even have to pay for parking when I'm down in Toronto. And so I'm going to be staying there. I'm there for 2 days and really trying to make the most of those 2 days. And when you quickly realize, like, with that much going on, with that much stimuli, days can go by pretty quick. And I felt that for sure at the Discovery Conference, where, it feels like you're just talking for a couple minutes and then all of a sudden the day is actually over. And so I'm trying to do my best to suck it all up, make all the connections that I'm looking for. Not that I'm really looking or searching for them that much in depth right now. But also, again, trying to get as much value and learning out of this as I possibly can. And that is an interesting thing, I guess. I just will touch on that, is this idea of like connecting at conferences. A big piece of speak and what we've been working on is, we're trying to understand more about conversations and communication intelligence and emotional intelligence and the power, the success that actually does come from, especially people speaking together in person. And it seems to be an extra excitement and extra layer of, potential magic that can happen at conferences like this. And so, last week at Discovery, I think there was a little bit more of intention. We were exhibiting, showing off the technology, and there was a bunch of, experts there, investors. There was a push to want to connect with them and sort of show them what we're working on, whereas for this conference here, I feel like I'm sort of coming in as an outsider, definitely not exhibiting, and I have the budget to do that, and I'm really just going to actually soak up the experience and try to learn, again, as much as I possibly can. And if connections come out of that, that's a really exciting thing. I'm coming down in a natural way, not trying to force really anything here. And that was an odd thing at Discovery. They had this session, Ask the Experts, and in that session, basically, it was pretty crazy. It was out of control. You had like 20 investors, or experts, I guess. Some of them were IP people, some of them were legal. And you could go in and basically it was come as you serve. If the investor chair was open in front of them, you could go and sit and talk to the investor. And these were sort of designated times. And during those times, obviously there being a bunch of other young startup companies in there, felt like a lot of these investors were just getting like swamped by companies. I actually sat down with a couple, and then more actually stayed away. I didn't even really get to meet with investors. I actually talked to a couple government organizations and a couple lawyers. It was a really like both exciting but disorganized little piece there. But what I also saw, just it made me feel a little bit weird. It was like a desperation to meet with these investors or meet with these experts. And I think there is, there's value to get out of that, of course, to want to show what they're doing, but the way, you know, you're basically speed dating, and everyone's just, like, ignoring who these investors are and whatever, and just really trying to pitch as quickly as they can. Give me 10 minutes, sir, ma'am. I want to pitch you. Okay, here's a couple insights. Maybe some of them are specific and personalized, but I'm sure a lot of them are generic. These investors are just trying to do their best probably to make it through this. Obviously, they're getting yelled at by people who are trying to get money and grow their company. Trying to give a little bit of value back, but that's a really difficult situation, especially when I think we look at them as experts and say they're experts in everything. But, you know, if you're working on machine learning and they're focused on manufacturing, or if I go even another level deeper, I'm looking more on marketing and communication, but they're experts in food, that's not the right match. And I think there was a lot of that happening there, and just sort of a desperate energy that came around these Ask the Expert hours. And so that's not really the situation I'm in. Of course, it'd be nice to have more, you know, obviously everyone wants more money, and it'd be cool to, you know, if there was doors open into investment, which I think already is happening in a much more organic way. But I heard this really interesting thing, and that was from a guy who's actually raised some money. And he said, if you go for money, you get advice, and if you go for advice, you get money. And in its own way, that's quite like a manipulative thing, because now it's like, okay, just ask people for advice, work with them, you know, hopefully, you know, build a great relationship with them, share what you're doing and learn more. And at some point, they've seen your growth and obviously would like to invest in you. I think that there is a lot of merit to that. It starts to get a little bit manipulative once you actually know that. But it is sort of a common thing you hear from seemingly people who have actually been successful in raising money, and then people who have been sort of successful in general. And so to see this like swarm of people all going at these experts was a little bit odd, and just felt sort of weird to me. So I did my best to meet with the couple. What I did after, though, which was sort of, I think, the right thing to do, is I actually found all the investors who were doing the Ask an Expert session on LinkedIn. I just connected with them and sent them a little note and said, I'm sorry I didn't actually get to meet with you. It would have been a great opportunity, but obviously it was pretty chaotic there. Just want to thank you for spending your time actually doing that. But there is a lot of value for us as entrepreneurs when you do take that time, and we learn so much from you and want to understand how do you get to that next level? How do you get to that next stage? So I just sent them a message, sort of getting that sentiment across, and just said, have an awesome long weekend. And it was really cool. I would say, you know, 85% of those people, and I would say that's about 60 investors or experts in general, have actually connected back, and some of them even left a nice little note as well too, saying, you know, thanks for saying that, and sort of for noticing that we are putting some time in. And obviously, as investors or experts, they're you know, sort of, I guess, volunteering their time, but at the same time, they're doing their job, and they're keeping an eye on who are these young companies who may be the next people that we are looking at investing in, or all these kind of things. So I think in some ways there is a volunteer piece of that, but there's also a really valuable part for them where they've got their eyes or maybe first dibs on some young companies who do seem to have some potential. And I think we are one of those. I guess one of the things that I've been thinking a lot about is this idea of the human transcription piece. Does that mitigate some of the value for I would say maybe an investor, because there is a less scalable part of our business model? That's something that I continue to think about. But it's also this, you know, this gap between the technology where it is today, and, you know, even in that regard, I'm still unsure of how quickly this gap is actually going to close. Like, I would say there are a couple of companies, one of them being Otter, who's built out their own beautiful, like, system and continues to get more accurate, and they're trading it very, very rapidly. But, again, going back to that Ivy sort of example, there's so many layers of knowledge and context that this technology needs before we can become confident that it's actually, you know, that 99% accurate. And you know, the you know, a especially depending on the audio quality that you're taking that, running it through the system, and then immediately posting it online, especially if you're a professional entity who wants to make sure that there's no, you know, spelling mistakes, all that kind of stuff. So we're relying on technology, and I think that's the core of our business. There is this gap here, and people seem to be willing to pay for that gap, because when they order transcription, they don't want an 85% to 95% accurate one. They do want it cleaned up to that pretty high accuracy so they can paste it confidently. One thing I would say that has been really interesting and that I'm going to continue to share more about and very excited about is that a little bit of this experiment, I guess, in some ways has sort of, paid off would be the word, but one of the experiments, one of the things I was trying to prove, my hypothesis, and I thought it was really interesting, is that at this convention, at one of the keynotes, they said every company should have a hypothesis that they're trying to prove. And one of my hypothesis that I'm trying to prove is I believe that transcripting and podcasting, for example, has a big impact on your search engine rankings. It can really increase the speed that you actually rank and find visibility in search engines at. So I guess that's a little bit of my hypothesis. And I've been testing that hypothesis through my own podcast, which this is going to be a part of today, basically by recording audio, recording video, printing it. I'm using a plugin right now, Simply Podcasting. So I think that is the name. Castos is the related sort of company, and maybe the entity that works with it. And it's almost like creating a blog post in WordPress. I put the audio file and name it, make sure that I've sort of added nice categories and tags and everything. And what's cool is that Speak actually generates those tags and categories for me. I paste the actual audio or the video. Right now I'm just doing that through YouTube, and then I'm pasting the transcript below. And actually a lot of times right now I've only been doing the unedited transcript and pasting it right below those videos. And a couple ones that I've seen that I'm actually quite excited about. One of them, I was turning 26 years old, and I wanted to do a little bit of a review and feeling about how I felt with that. So I did a whole podcast on it. I went through a BuzzFeed article and read a bunch of things about, you know, what happens when you turn 26 years old. I posted that online as a blog post and put the transcription below. And because of that, I'm now ranking. If most people, I think, listening to this right now, if you type turning 26 years old, you'll find ToddofBryden.com, in the top 10, in the top, I'm finding it in the top 5 or even the top 3 results right now. I've seen a similar thing for, which is a unique term, but Joe Rogan and Mac Miller. These are two very big celebrities. Rest in peace, Mac Miller. I love you very much. And Joe, love you. Thanks for the podcast. Thanks for the life. But if you type that in, for the other day, it's ranking number one. Ranking number one if you type in Joe Rogan and Mac Miller. Kids in competitive sports. I get another episode on that. I think I'm ranking in the top 20 for that. At some points, even the top 5. Like, these are really competitive terms with millions and millions of results. And all I've done is put a podcast together and then dropped what is the unedited transcription below that. And in a short time, for a website that has low domain authority and almost no links, I've seen those podcasts and posts rank very, very highly, very quickly. And so the hypothesis that I'm sort of trying to prove, there is some really early evidence about the positive impacts of that. And as I continue to document and elaborate and, even continue, by seeing this, I'm like, wow, I got to make more podcasts. I've got to continue to take these conversations and turn them into content online that can be indexed by search engines. And right now there's still a little bit more of a manual process of that, but in the final, in my eyes, what I hope to see Speak doing is basically you can talk into your phone, and you've now created a podcast episode that is transcribed, that is posted online, and that is boosting your organic presence online very quickly. And I continue to want to make that push. I know there's value in that push. Right now at 6.5, people continue to pay. And I don't even charge that much to rank on search engines, both organically but also for paid spend. And I know that people are paying a lot more with different setups, and people who are farther along in sort of their agency life or business model, people are paying thousands, if not tens of thousands of dollars a month to improve their SEO. And a lot of time these companies are actually taken advantage of by marketing agencies who sort of claim that they know what they're doing around search engine optimization, or maybe creating blog posts and content, maybe doing some technical auditing and SEO as well too. But where I'm trying to go and what I'm trying to get to is basically democratize search engines for a lot of people, and this idea of voice to SEO, that all you have to do is actually talk and you've now created a search engine optimized piece of content which will rapidly help you rank and rapidly help you get discovered online. Most likely, if you're doing that conversation, whether it is audio or video, you're talking about something relevant to your business, something that is connected. And by adding that with the transcript, you've now created a pretty compelling piece of content that people will be happy to digest and have different ways that they can digest. So instead of just listening to an audio, they can actually read it. And we only want to continue that. So instead of just having, you know, where the current situation for myself is, where I'm taking a YouTube video, embedding it, and then putting the transcription below, we're actually all combining that into one package. And so that's something that I sort of continue to see the value in, especially if it's getting indexed by search engines, is this idea of this like embeddable player. Can you embed your audio or your video file in? And because we're using Speak, we've actually included the transcription right in it. It gives you also the ability to translate, and we also include the insights in it as well too. And so by doing that, we're actually improving the SEO. We're improving accessibility, which is a huge thing right now. So we're giving people the ability to read, but we're also giving the people the ability to translate. And so in many ways, we're actually opening up a path to actually connect with more users. We're increasing engagement because, you know, especially I think in the beginning, something like this will be quite novel. The ability to click through the transcript, be able to click through the insights, and that's only going to increase engagement. Part of that will be there will be some novelty in the start, but I'm hoping over time people get conditioned to interact with videos and audio in a more interactive way, and we'll start to see what people are actually engaging with, and they'll be spending more time engaging. So instead of just looking or going through small parts of the video, they can quickly scan through the keywords or topics that interest them and go to those exact moments. And so we're sort of increasing the engagement. Along with that engagement, again, the search engine rankings are increased because it's looking at that as a sign of you've created something valuable here that people do care about. And so we're going to continue to send people to this page. And then I hope, you know, not I hope, what we're working on and building in is the next layer of this is, you know, we can embed it directly on the web page. It's going to be getting indexed by search engines, so the transcript is going to be very beneficial. If you want, you could hire a human transcriber. We would come in from the back end and make sure that those captions, the transcriptions, and the translations are as accurate as they can be. And we hope to pass another analytics layer back. So instead of just seeing like, wow, someone watched 5 minutes of the video, we're understanding what moments they were watching, what topics were they clicking on, what keywords, part of the transcripts were they actually going through and spending their most time on. And by understanding that, we're getting really another layer again of analytics, and we can start to understand what topics, what keywords, what moments are people really resonating with people that we want to sort of double down on and create more content around. That's really exciting. I think on the back end, where we still have some more work to do, is we're actually trying to do much more sophisticated emotional analysis as well too. And so what I still question is, do we display that on the front end in the embed, and maybe we'll give people that option to, you know, like basically we're index, you know, we're identifying the video by emotion. And so if you are, you know, depending on who you are, do you want people to be able to sort through your video or audio or content by emotion? You know, this is really interesting thing to me. I'm not sure. I haven't actually had enough validation to understand what people want. When we talked to, for example, a university institution, most likely it seemed they didn't want the professor, be able to post a video and be able to sort through by happy or positive moments or negative moments. So that's been really interesting. But by doing that within the app, if we only, say we keep that on the internal side of the app, you can see the emotion part. You're understanding a little bit more of what tone of your audio or video is actually leading to the most engagement. And you wouldn't be able to do that unless you actually analyze the video internally, sort of in the application. So although we might not choose to display the emotion in the embeddable widget, or maybe we give them the option to actually choose that, we will do it on our end so that you have a better understanding. And when I look at the core, one of the core missions of Speak and what I've talked about, especially in the early stages, as especially as I was pitching more and being aspirational about where I want to go, is we want to understand basically the tone, personality, and clarity of people when they're communicating, and whether that's in conversations, just in person or in sales calls or meetings, or if that's someone creating content online. We want to understand sort of what is leading to the most engagement, what's leading to the most success, what are these things. And if we can identify that for companies or people, it gives them a lot of power. And so we're continually trying to do, trying to build better technology around that piece, because in its current state, it's getting better. But we find that it's just not as nuanced, and we get, a lot of like positive, negative, or maybe like happy and sad. But I think there's a lot more nuance and sophistication that can be assigned to that conversation. And so, my goal obviously being, instead of just getting happy or sad, you're getting confident, you're getting analytical, you're getting, maybe even some more personality things. You came off very intellectual here. And by sorting and actually creating those insights around the content, it does give you a lot of power by then understanding what people are actually engaging with on that embeddable widget. So it is sort of funny, like you spend all this time and you put everything together and you want to see how your technology is going to be used and where it's going to be used. And in our mind, it's come down to something as simple as an embeddable player. Something that can be, described quite articulately and quickly, and it would seem quite simple, like, wow, you built another audio or video player. But that's not really what it is. That's the medium or the mechanism to activate the power of what we're doing. And so we're putting a lot of energy and emphasis into this embeddable player and insights. It's come so clear to me, and it's in some ways I feel like sort of not sad, but I've reverted down to a layer that I know, which is that marketing layer. I know the value of that. And at this conference, even for this Discovery conference in general, and just in the conversations that we've had, people are really excited about this idea of sort of using an embeddable player. But what more is democratizing search engines for people by really, opening up this idea that all you have to do is talk, and now you've created this optimized piece of content. Whether that's just pasting the transcript itself, or if you're actually using our embeddable widget to, widget the right word, I'm still not sure about that, but using that embeddable part of our technology to actually share that way, which is of course getting indexed by search engines. You might be able to hear a little bit of the revving of the engines and slowing down. This is what I was thinking was going to happen. It's 7 a.m. right now. I'm coming into the green belt, the Niagara Escarpment. That, for good or for bad, no, definitely for bad. Seems like we are maybe destroying a little bit, or planning on destroying a little bit. I am now in standstill traffic, so the smooth cruise that I had before and over the past part of me talking here is now over. It's a sad time. I'm sitting. When I say standstill, I'm literally at a standstill. And I figured this is what might happen. Should have gone down last night. I knew it. Everyone's going back to work. We're not moving. Hope we do. I started to see a little bit of things moving. In front of me is a Jeep. The Jeep says, "Go Chiefs, go." Go Chiefs Go is Elgin Middlesex Hockey. It's a Triple A hockey team. It's where I played growing up, and I just sort of think that's funny. People are very proud. Chiefs was always something people are so proud about, and I guess I was one of them. I had my Chiefs jacket. I wore them absolutely everywhere. It was one of those like early status signs for both myself as a young boy, but also I think for my parents as well too. And we can see here, this guy's got his license plate clearly indicating that his kid is a Chiefs player, and therefore, you know, a better athlete than your kid. As you can see, this slowdown has made me angry and bitter. And there's no need to attack your kid like that, sir. I'm sure you're a great person. I'm sure your kid is a great person as well, too. But it is sort of funny the role that status plays in sports and hockey, and especially this Triple A hockey here. I have been going on for quite a while now, and I've really got to talk about a lot of the pieces that I did want to talk about. And what I'm going to do, I take this. I'm going to sort of practice what I preach. I'm going to take this piece of content. I'm going to run it through our system. I'm going to transcribe it. I'm going to pull out all the keywords and the brands and the topics. And I'm going to turn that into a post. I'm going to turn that into a post using the Simple Podcasting plugin. It'll be shared to the actual podcast I've been working on, Speak with Tyler Bryden, which started out as Tyler Talks. May morph again because I don't want to, you know, I'm hoping actually to do basically a speak more professional podcast. And I think this is something that as I've realized some of the power in this case study that I've done with the podcasting and seeing where I'm ranking, that almost it seems like it's going to have to become a must do for businesses trying to grow their online presence. And we've continued to see the rise of podcasting, both for people and, like, you know, obviously personal, but of course in a business context. And, you know, with that, I think there is a layer of, okay, it's like YouTube or some other things that are saturated, like you post, no one really is going to find it or listen to it or engage with it because there are so many and it's so hard to find, and why choose yours instead of others? But as, you know, as we continue down this path, it's this idea of you don't need millions and millions of fans or followers or customers. What you need is, you know, maybe a smaller group of dedicated ones who are willing to pay, you know, willing to put their money where their mouth is to actually support you. And so whether that is a podcaster who's trying to run a Patreon and get its, you know, to a thousand people who are willing to chip in $10 a month, or is it, you know, if you're a business, is it, you know, maybe the people who are interested in what you're podcasting about are those people who will be your customer, and sharing that way and building a connection with them. But I think the secondhand piece of this is by podcasting, you're really talking out a lot of the, you know, talking a lot about your organization and your business and learning, you know, learning through that process. Fleshing out what you're doing and what you're working on, but at the same time you're building what can be a well indexed channel for building success in search engines. And I think that's something that shouldn't really be overlooked. It sends so many signals to search engines and to just your presence in general, that what you're actually talking about and what your business is or what your podcast is about. And of course, with you know the transcription part is really valuable because the search engines can crawl through those. And then with that, if you use something like the something simple podcast, whatever it is, goddammit, it distributes it to a lot of those different podcast platforms and builds a great connection of links and relevance and context for these search engines as well too. So in some ways, as I've explored and continued to go down this path, I've realized the value and the power of podcasting in general. And even if it's not something that is going to be a massive entity that you continue forever, it's a pretty powerful burst of something that you can do, which actually will have an impact on the business or an impact on your life. So with that, I think as I've talked for quite a while here, and I've continued to sit at my standstill, I'm going to sign off here, hoping to make it to this conference, and I will probably come back and, as much as I've tried to do my podcast, been so busy, but, some of these results have just indicated to me that I do need to put some more time investment in this, and so I hope even to come back and do a wrap-up after the Collision Conference here, and maybe share a little bit about what I saw, but also, what are some of the insights of actually going to a conference like this, because I'm trying to look both through the lens of, what crazy technology and what kind of stuff is coming. But I'm also looking at, if you are a young business owner or an entrepreneur or your startup, what is it like to go and navigate through a conference like this, 25,000 people, and many of them absolute leaders in, absolute leaders in the spaces that they're in. So I'm hoping to come back and share my experience through those lens for you, and hopefully that's a valuable thing that maybe that you don't want to listen to. So with that, Tyler, you got anything else that you want to talk about here? I think you've really gone on. I guess I will continue to follow my Chiefs boy here, and I thank you for anyone who did tune in to actually listen. I wonder how it feels to have the truck sort of in the background here, or the noise. This is a really interesting piece to me that I've seen more podcasters doing, where they're like walking around or they're cooking in the kitchen or things like this. And I guess even with this rise of ASMR, this idea of like ambient noises and sounds being a big part of what we're actually looking for. So hopefully the noise wasn't too distracting. As I say that, a massive truck rolls by. But there's not that many times where I get a dedicated space where I can actually sit down like this and really talk through a lot. And what I realize is it's nice to do in the morning, especially as you're driving and it's a beautiful day like this. So I'm not going to let the bumper-to-bumper here take a toll on my mood. It's been a great long weekend. It's going to be an exciting couple of days ahead here if I actually can get there. And I hope anyone listening here has a fantastic week as well, too. Again, thank you for listening, and I look forward to talking soon. Bye-bye.